The Hidden Node. Dog Days of Podcasting for August 4th. That would make it the 5th episode of the Dog Days of Podcasting for 2014. Hi everybody, how's it going? So, just a little preamble of today. Back to work from a lovely weekend. Today was fairly mediocre. I forgot that the deli downstairs, it's the deli I usually do my writing in. I forgot it was closed today, which, you know, okay, fine, I can do my writing upstairs. Except since I carpool with my wife, I didn't have a way of getting any of the food. So, lunch consisted of the banana I brought with me and an Almond Joy from the vending machine. Yikes. So, mental note, if the place you usually go for lunch says they're going to take a vacation day, make sure you remember. Because otherwise, poor food choices. Ooh. So, that said, otherwise today's been okay. A little bit of writing, working a little bit on blog posts today. But otherwise, you know, pretty much standard Monday. So, the topic for this month. So, I talked to you yesterday about the early years we had with the PC and gaming and all that. Day before, I talked about the joys of the regular Nintendo. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the best game console there ever is, ever was, ever will be. Nah, I can't really make that claim. The truth of the matter is, the SNES holds a place of nostalgia in my life that, even though most of the games, are awfully dated, the graphics, you know, are what the graphics were for 16-bit systems, and, you know, they're older. A lot of the mechanics that we have improved on now, just kind of sloppy back then. But that's how it was. But much like older movies are still amazing to go back to, the SNES fits that category for me. When I think of a good role-playing game, I think Chrono Trigger, I think Final Fantasy VI. You know, when I think of a good, you know, kind of more action-y game, you know, I might think of Super Mario Brothers or, you know, any of the Mega Man X series. To me, the Super Nintendo, it was when Nintendo got it. It was when the developers for game consoles finally, you know, they had experienced the resurgence of gaming, you know, post the, you know, mid-80s crash. They had experienced the success from Nintendo, and the Super Nintendo was a chance to show what they had learned. And to me, they did so with flying colors. The Super Nintendo has been a major impactor on my life. The experiences I had with it have shaped a lot of what I know now. My first experience with D&D was technically through the Super Nintendo. We had a little bit of experience in terms of role-playing games, and I think I have a day coming up. Let me just actually check the subject line for my themes. I actually have these written down. It's kind of amazing that I actually have taken the time to do that. Actually, tomorrow's role-playing games. Okay, so I'll briefly cover this then and go into more depth tomorrow. But role-playing games, you know, were experience I had in the early 90s that coincided with my experience with the Super Nintendo. And the Super Nintendo helped kind of imprint that love of role-playing games, that love of a good story where I become a different person, where, you know, the choices I make seem to affect the outcome. Now, to be fair, most of the Super Nintendo games, for the most part, the choices you make really don't matter. They seem to have an effect, but it's all about finding a different road to get to the same spot. Not like, you know, kind of more modern RPGs, where you have a better chance to actually make a choice and have it matter. But, you know, those games helped define who I was. For example, one of the other podcasts I run is The Hidden Grid, The Six World Chronicles, a Shadowrun actual play podcast series. Shadowrun's an RPG I've been playing since 1993-1994. Why are those years important? Because around that time is when Shadowrun for the Super Nintendo came out, starring one Jake Armitage. If anybody's been playing the recent Shadowrun Returns, you may recognize the guy who's in the Mortician's Drawer in the very beginning chapter of the game. So, that game brought me to finding about the Shadowrun novels, finding out about the Shadowrun role-playing game, and brought me to a lot of the podcasting I do today. So, just in fact, like I said, I'll go into more details tomorrow because I'm kind of focused more on role-playing games then. But Super Nintendo, you know, it's one of those things where I can go back and play any of those games. I can go back and play, you know, Castlevania 4. I can go back and play the... I've said this a couple of times. I can go back and play pretty much any of the games I love in Super Nintendo and have a good time. I can't say that for every Nintendo game. I can't say that for every Atari game. Because some do get dated. And they don't have the layer of nostalgia over them like the Super Nintendo did for me. Now, to compare it in time, you know, the heyday of the Super Nintendo, you know, the early 90s to the mid-90s, I was... what? From 91, I would have been 8, to 96, when the N64 came out, I would have been 13. Pretty much the major parts of the part of the childhood where I really developed and grew to appreciate story and concepts and pastimes and fun. There was, of course, multitudes of, you know, multiplayer games in the series. There was connections to my brothers, but I guess, I don't know, Super Nintendo a lot of times was a single-player experience for us. At least that's where most of the games focused on. There were exceptions, Turtles in Time, Secret of Mana for a three-player, but Truth Be Told, if I remember correctly, with Secret of Mana, that was mostly a Lyle, David, Alex play a game, and Justin go do something else. But, you know, yeah, that is what it is. I don't recall us really having too many four-player games for the Super Nintendo. But, most importantly, the Super Nintendo was when I started actually talking to friends at school about gaming. You know, friends outside of my immediate family. You know, started talking about, you know, what we liked, what was the stories, what we enjoyed. Also, secretly, Super Nintendo was kind of when I started thinking about, you know, what would mods to games be like? Like, what if you added this to the program? What if you added that to the program? Didn't do anything because, no, I take it back. We did have a Game Genie. Did have a Game Genie from time to time. We would borrow one from friends, and we did manage to change some things around. Now, I'll be honest, I do more so for the Game Genie these days than we did back then. I mean, I'd like to say that we did awesome cool things, but let's face it, I didn't have the internet actively back then, so I couldn't do things like I did last year, such as running through Final Fantasy VI with a completely custom character set, because, yay, Game Genie. Basically, I guess what I'm getting at is, the Super Nintendo, to me, it was the catalyst of, well, it is my go-to system. That there's nothing to play without a Super Nintendo emulator. I mean, honestly, I'm considering buying this console that I've been seeing online, that can play 7 different types of cartridge systems. And, I mean, it's a purchase I really don't need to make, but I really kind of want to because, well, the emulators are fun, but there's nothing quite like actually playing off a cartridge. Now, granted, I understand that that is nostalgia coloring my vision. It is using technology that's not as developed, it's not as clean, and it's not as easy to use. Darn it, I want it. That's to me, the golden idol of my childhood. Now, I did say I would talk a little bit about Sega in this episode. Well, okay, here's the thing. We got our Sega, I want to say early January 1993. It was from the honeymoon my dad and my stepmom at the time had. They brought back a Sega for us. And for a couple months there, it was a brief, flashy, amazing system. And honestly, outside of the Sonic games, and yeah, that was about it. The Sonic games were pretty much the major draw for the Sega for us, and we never had the collection of Sega games like we did the Super Nintendo games. I want to say my brother David had more Sega games. You know, we had a few games that were ours, per se, and I think David kind of leaned towards the Sega more than the rest of us. So, now, getting back to what I talked about, I don't remember if I talked about it in the introductory episode, or if I talked about it in the kind of preamble episode for the Dark Days, but I had mentioned finished reading Blake Harris's Console Wars, and having read that book, and thinking about, you know, the impact those people's choices made on my childhood is, it causes me a little bit of cognitive dissonance. The reason I say that is because, to me, thinking about my time with the Super Nintendo is like thinking of a legend, thinking of this great myth that existed that I was a part of, but isn't really true. Knowing the actual reasons, the lore, the concepts behind the corporate world that Nintendo and Sega really were part of, it colors things in a different light. It doesn't make it darker, it doesn't make it brighter, it takes away a little bit of the myth and kind of establishes it in a reality that I'm not used to thinking of when I think of Super Nintendo. Again, rose-colored glasses and all that. But I don't know, it's one of the first times I've really taken apart something from my childhood and really got to see the nitty-gritty of it. Even seeing the connections within my childhood to other things. I mean, for example, you know, when I grew up, Ninja Turtles were a really big thing. You know, turns out that was a really big inspiration in terms of how Sonic was a character and how he looked and acted. You know, go figure that, you know, I enjoyed Sonic because it was based on figures that I already deeply enjoyed. So, anyway, at this point I think I'm pretty much just have rambling left to do, but seriously, if you haven't had a chance to go back and just play a Super Nintendo game, might I recommend finding a copy of Super Metroid and just checking it out, enjoying the awesome? Or if you're in the mood for RPG, go for Chrono Trigger. Go for Final Fantasy VI. Both of those would be great examples. Or if you really want to kind of go kind of out there and get a little bit of the action puzzler mixed into your RPG, Lufia 2 would be a good way to go. Or if you're looking just for straight action, hey, Mega Man. What I'm getting at is I can probably recommend any game except for sports games for you in Super Nintendo, and you'll have a good time. At least, that's what the nostalgic kid in me says. So, with that, I'm going to go. Like I said, tomorrow is role-playing games. We'll both be talking virtual role-playing games and tabletop role-playing games. It's a little bit of a diversion from the virtual worlds topic and the gaming world topics, but it applies, because that leads to stuff nowadays that you won't hear about until 20 or so episodes from now. Just take footnotes. Okay? Alright, talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye-bye.